I'd like to continue in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to take a look at verses 17 through 19 of Colossians chapter 3. We'll also take a look at a parallel passage in Galatians. Well, this passage is probably one of those controversial texts. It's hard to understand at times, especially it's been misused before, and I hope that there's more light shed on this in this time together as we take a look at this passage. And it would help for me to turn this on for more light to appear there. Would you read together with me? "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." This is the text as it appears in Colossians. In Ephesians chapter 5, these two thoughts are expanded. In this text, we're going to take a look at how Colossians has been such a hopeful book that hope inspires me to live better with other people. And there's some instruction here to help us live better with each other. Hope helps us live better in marriage, in family, in work, in this larger text that we'll be looking at in the next Sunday and today. And so we'll be taking a look at those passages. That's the basic idea, is that what we find here helps us live better in marriage and family. And so let's take a look at the first idea. The first idea is that there is a mutual submission modeled by husband and wife. Now, in this text, you saw it talked about wives be subject or be in submission to your husbands. In the Galatians passage, it starts off in another way. It says it this way: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want to stop just there. You see the verb, submit, okay? And you see that the verb submit in verse 22 is in parentheses. I put the parentheses there for a reason, because the verb in 22 is borrowed from the verb in 21. So let's read that again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, to your husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? You get the idea there? It reads that way. And so there is this broad, general statement that we should submit ourselves to each other, that it is mutual. And then Paul gives two examples of what submission looks like. Wives, to your husbands as unto the Lord. And then for husbands, as he continues in the passage, he says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. So that's the way the grammar works out in this text. It's mutual submission. Colossians talks about the same idea as verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Any question here so far? So what we're talking about is mutual submission, not one-sided submission.
So it is equal.
Is equal. Mutual submission. Okay? Yes?
It's also
what about the text? It gives you that hint that it's voluntary. Well, I'm impressed that you get that sense from it.
It's out of reverence for Christ.
It's out of reverence for Christ.
It's out of reverence for Christ. If we don't feel that reverence.
Okay. Someone else? Yes? Okay. God is, the Lord is present, isn't he?
That's right.
That's where the Lord is present. And so we live in light of that presence. The verb back there and here in Colossians, submitting to one another out of reverence toward Christ, the verb is not imperative. It is not a command. It's in the middle voice, which would be, you would say it this something like this, submitting, choose submission for yourself out of reverence for Christ. Choose for yourself, that is, you're doing something that reflects back. It is actually a benefit to self. You choose it for self. Submit for yourself. Choose for yourself out of reverence for Christ. Wives to your husbands. And then the husband's example of that kind of submission is loving the wife as Christ loved the church. It is a choice. Now, in light of today, I'd like to just address these things. Mutual submission, it's first modeled by husband and wife, and we've looked at those passages. It is illustrated and it is gifted when someone chooses, right? It is a gift you give somebody else. And it's gifted in verse 18. The example is women gifting their mates with submission. And it's motivated out of our relationship with Christ. Whatever you do, look in verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the context for this text. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it is mutual submission. Let's take a look at what submission is not. This is, again, I think, hopefully, the idea of submission will feel a little bit better about it. It isn't a word that's coded real positively, is it, today? It carries baggage that shouldn't be there, in a sense, because of what it's been perceived to be, I think. There are times when Scripture speaks to us and it strikes straight to the heart. There's no question about that. That is straight to the heart, and it confronts us and it's uncomfortable. There are times when I think Scripture's been misunderstood, and there's something uncomfortable about the things that are misunderstood. First, what it means to submit. It is a choice that you talked about. It is a choice where someone willfully submits. So that suggests it's a behavior, right? It is a behavior. Paul is not talking about an organizational hierarchy. Is that one of the ideas that you're uncomfortable with? That it implies an organizational hierarchy. It is not suggesting something where there's an inequality of relationship between two people. It has nothing to do with that. We are called, if Peter says to husbands and wives, that they are co-heirs of the grace of God. Co-heirs of the grace of God. He also says, in Christ there's no Jew nor Greek, no male nor female, no bond or free. So we're not talking about a difference in hierarchy. We're talking about something different. Submitting is not agreeing to something that you think might be wrong and that you cannot obviously get comfortable with at all. And yet sometimes people have thought that's what the word means. It is not that. If that's what it meant, then it means that someone in the relationship is down one notch, and they don't and can't or aren't free to say to the person, I think this is wrong. And that has been done. That has been done before. This passage has been invoked before to that end. Pastors have said to people, you should do whatever your husband says, even if it's wrong. God tells us in Scripture that we would even be free to defy our government if it was wrong. Why would we expect a spouse to have to do something just simply because of position? So we know that it is not that. It's not becoming a doormat to another person where it's a one-down relationship or believing that others are more worthy, again, suggesting inequality. It is not something that can be forced. If the grammar is right, it's in the middle voice. It's something you choose to do, and you choose for yourself to do it. So it has to be voluntary. It cannot be forced. Completely voluntary. There's a change in some wedding vows that I welcome. Do you know what it is? Yes, that's the one. What's the line? Oh, well, there's that one too. Man and wife, because that's it's talking about gender of one person, it's talking about position or status in the other. It's this one about obey. Children obey. Spouses submit. There's a difference in relationship. Any question about that part? Feedback, pushback. Yes. I understand that. That's kind of what we have understood as a traditional approach to home, marriage and family. And yes.
So many.
Yeah.
Unhealthy.
The thing that I guess I can pick up from you is that they lived this well, didn't they? And so there wasn't a one down sense.
But there was
submission
on my mom's part.
Sure. And there are times when probably they sought each other's opinions and thoughts out and shared decisions together. And so it approximates equality in that sense. And also there are times when submitting to one another is really a gift. We'll take a look a little bit more about that particular part, how it's really a gift to each other. But I felt like it's good and important to get out what it is not. What it is not. It's not becoming a doormat. And basically, you're underlining that. It's something that can't be forced. It is not the husband's concern to impose this. Who is it addressed to? Okay. Yes. The internal attitude is most important in this subject of mutual submission. whether you're doing it on the outside only or you're doing it on the inside as well. Very, very important. So it's not something that can be forced. It's not the husband's concern to impose it. I've seen men impose it, use these words, in that way. And I often have thought, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing when you pull this verse out? There are times when I felt like they were abusing Scripture. And we dare not do that, especially with someone we call a co-heir of the grace of God, my sister in Christ. Thank you. You see, when someone insists on their own way, it's like laying down a trump card. You have to, because I just laid this trump card down. And that's the wrong use of Scripture. Yes?
There are so many families.
Yes, and that's very true. And it can be an act of insecurity, fear, selfishness, self-orientation. It's not meant to be that way. Here in this text, Paul is showing us something that is bi-directional. It goes both ways. Both spouses, submitting yourselves to one another, and then he gives an example, wives, your husbands is unto the Lord. And the other part is that husbands love their wives. That's how they submit. They love their wives as Christ loves the church. So it's not just for one gender. According to these passages, and I think it's important to lay alongside Colossians, the Galatians passage as well. Well, let's take a look at what submission provides. Can you think of a few things that submission would actually provide in a relationship?
Mutual respect.
Mutual respect. It says, I value the strengths that I see in you. I had a friend who, he did not have financial sense, who was married to a wife banker who had lots of financial sense. But because in his mind, dealing with money was the guy's job, he nearly bankrupted his family many, many times. And his wife had the tools to make this happen. We need to play to each other's strengths. That's what submission actually does. It frees us to play to each other's strengths. Very good. What else might it do?
Communication.
Okay. Want to expand that word? Sure. Communication is a lot better. See, someone mentioned it was always the dad who decided, right? Usually when that's the case and there isn't this kind of communication, somebody's either resenting it a lot or dying emotionally.
A lot of anger.
When it's one-sided, when it's mutual, and there's communication, then we have something very, very different. So let's see. It's actually a relationally supportive behavior. When I say that, I mean this. That when we submit, I can choose to submit, and that lets the other person know that if this is the way you think we should go, great. I'm going to be there whether it works out well or not. I'm always going to be there when I submit, when I choose to willingly submit. It gives us options. One way submission limits the creative potential that taps the uniqueness of the two personalities instead of one. It provides emotional flexibility in the relationship. When our roles are so rigid, that's often at the heart of couple conflict. That is why people feel that there are imbalances in the relationship, imbalances of power, imbalances in the division of work, imbalances in decision-making. There's an older book that was written. It says, "Do I have to give up being me to be loved by you?" It's quite a title, isn't it? Sometimes that's where it gets to if this isn't balanced out, if it isn't mutual submission. I don't believe that's the way it's meant to be. In Australia a number of years ago, a couple of people went on a mission trip. I remember being in Malawi, and sometimes mutual submission was a really important thing. When you get halfway around the world and you're tired and time-lagged and half-sick, people can rub on you. They can just rub on you the wrong way. Well, that's what happened here. They were having trouble as a team in this mission trip. And as they were trying to help one person make it so that the team could work better, the person just kind of wrapped around, or their arm around a pole, and was set to settle in and argue his point. And the person who was standing in front of him just laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, this is the sign that they saw that he had behind him." And the fellow looked up at that, and he said, "That must be the Lord." And he submitted to the team, and all the angst went out of the issue. Give way. Yield. We can yield. Yield. Submitting to one another actually provides flex in the relationship. And it can become dramatic. How important is it? It can be very important. Janet and I read a story about a couple who were backing up the family camper into a little slot, and she was giving him directions as he drove. And it was late. They were tired from the camping trip. You know how it is, you camp, and then you come home, and you have to recover. And he was backing it up, and she kept waving at him and saying, "There's the mailbox, there's the mailbox." And he says, "I see it, I see it." And he's driving, and he's giving it, you know, more go to go over the curb. And she says, "I see the mailbox." And he gunned it one more time and creamed the mailbox. And there was something that Janet and I thought, well, you know, there are a lot of times like that. As part of submitting to one another, we decided to use that little phrase, "I see the mailbox." And bless her, she had to use it last night. I was laughing hard. Yeah. So there are times when you might need to give way. You see the little choo-choo on the bottom? Apparently this one is at a railroad crossing. Why do we give way? Because there could be a train wreck. There could be a train wreck in our lives if we don't. And if we learn to look at each other's strengths and play to those strengths, then we do so much better. The idea of mutual submission is one that I think we understand. We understand it at a level that sometimes, many times, it's most needful. It goes both ways. It's a reality-based behavior that forges a partnership between people. I think it models bridge building, where we can transcend selfishness and our self-centeredness, where we can, by submitting, truly love others in ways that are perceived by them as loving when we submit, when we give in. Does that help this word be coded a little differently? Because it is a beautiful term. It belongs squarely in our relationships. Let's pray. We thank you so much, Lord, for your rich word. There are times when we feel like it is so practical and so clear and so helpful. Be at work in our lives this week so that we may live out what we've heard today. We pray that you would do this in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen.